Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What is going on, Charlotte Hornets fans? It is I, Darian Thomas, your host of the Trust the Buzz podcast, a part of the Believe podcast network, and we have a lot to talk about today. I'm sorry that I have not been on the podcast wave as much as I should. I really want to do it more. I really want to have more time to just create more content for you guys. But between the videos and then watching the games and then doing life stuff, it's just been complicated. But I will find a way to do more because you deserve it. Right now, the Charlotte Hornets are 4 games in. They're 1-3 after a loss. After a win against the Hawks, a loss against, who did we play the second game? I don't even remember. A loss against the Detroit Pistons, a loss against, the Pistons, the Nets, and the Rockets. So all three losses have all looked the same. I mean, even the win looked a little bit the same until the Hawks were maybe even lazier than us, so it allowed us to come back and win that game. But it's a lot going on, and today we're going to be talking about it. Hopefully you can see the screen. If you're listening to this through audio, through your podcast, wherever you listen to your podcast, I'm sorry, but I am like kind of doing a video version. This is my first try at it, so we'll see how it goes. I'm used to doing video, used to doing kind of stream-like things, but this is the first time trying to get the video version of the podcast, so hopefully all the nooks and crannies are fixed. Hopefully there are no issues, but if you want to go see that, go ahead and go to YouTube, look up Trust the Buzz, and you'll find my channel, and I'll have this video up. Like I said, this will be the video version of the Trust the Buzz podcast. But if you're just cool, I'm obviously going to read out everything on the screen, so you'll be able to do that as well. And just, you know, the audio should be just fine. But if you just want to see my face, then go ahead and go to the YouTube channel. But we're going to go ahead and get into it. We're going to talk statistics today. I'm going to say a lot of things that make a lot of people upset because on Twitter, I've been calling out players, been calling out a team. They're saying it's just 4 games, and I completely get that. That's one thing I want to say before I say anything else, is that it's just 4 games. Miles Bridges has not played. Those are the two things I would like to say. But my biggest issue with all of this is that the Charlotte Hornets have started off how they start off every season, it feels like. Well, no, I think 2 years ago we started off pretty hot, but it's just lazy. We come out lazy. We come out not energized. The team punches us in the mouth, and then we play comeback. 4 games into the season, yes, I 100% understand that very early in the season, and we are missing our second best player, Miles Bridges. He got like 6 more games on suspension. My thing is, we've just seen this exact same thing before. We saw it with Miles. We've seen it without Miles. We've seen it without LaMelo. We've seen it with LaMelo. No matter what you change about this roster, this part remains the same. We saw it in Summer League. So it's something that I've been saying time and time again. But on Twitter, I get like backlash just because they're saying, you're overreacting. In every facet of the game, in every facet of basketball, and I have to get used to looking at the webcam here, but every facet of basketball for the Charlotte Hornets, whether that's through free agency, through trades, through just regular deals with the team, the on-court play, summer league practices, it's just going through the motions. Everywhere I look, the front office is going through the motions. Our players are going through the motions. It feels like the coach is going through the motions. It's a lot of going through the motions. We're going through the motions organization. That is why 4 games in, I am bothered so much. It's because we see it everywhere. I'm not surprised. If anything, it's another year of being disappointed that I'm hoping for something different. If you look at how the Charlotte Hornets move and how they operate, and I can't blame the new owners, they haven't even had time to do anything. We really can't judge them until next year once Mitch Kupchak's contract is up and Steve Clifford's contract is up. And so far, I think they've done enough. Like, they went out and got some players to try to fix the backup point guard position. It didn't work, but hey, I think they're giving all they're giving. This is the thing. This is the last year of Mitch's deal. I am not in the rooms, but I would assume that Rich Schnall, Gabe Plotkin told, or Rick Schnall and Gabe Plotkin told Mitch Kupchak, hey, this is it. This, you want to save your job? You want to wow us? You want to prove yourself? Now, Mitch is old, and I see how these things like this happen all the time where, well, I was about to retire. You know what I mean? So they could play it off like that, but they're probably either one saying, hey, just keep us at bay. So then when you leave at the end of this year, we'll have something to work with. Or two, they told him, hey, you need to get it together. You need to find a way to win. You whatever you need to do, as long as it doesn't destroy our future, do it. He's not doing it. This is essentially give them their version of giving Mitch a blank check and saying, hey, work. Now, I'm not saying he needs to trade for Kevin Durant, which obviously I know that's not realistic, but you get the point. I'm not saying he needs to make a crazy trade, but I'm saying that this is kind of your last year to have the Hornets make the playoffs. You know how much it's important it is. The owners know, everybody knows how important it is for the Hornets to be even just good. I think if we're good and we miss the playoffs, everybody's going to be okay. Or if we show signs that we're good and we just miss the playoffs, everybody's going to be okay. And this is what you do. You bring in Frank Ntilikina, who's hurt, but that's not your fault. But is that really a good backup point guard? No. You brought in Edmund Sumner. I thought he was going to be a good like energy piece off the bench, but I do like the addition of Ish Smith. However, I felt like as though that's a locker room thing. He knows a lot of the guys. He was here when we were good. He was here when we were good. So I felt like that is something that could help. But overall, it's like, does it really change much? Not really as far as on the court. I do like having that veteran now. You didn't do anything. And this is supposed to be the year we made the playoffs. This is your last year of your contract. So either one, we're being lied about how good everyone is and if we're going to make the playoffs, or two, you just are very incompetent at your job when it comes to building a team that is cohesive, that can win. Because I think they have an eye for talent. I really do. I know it's crazy. I do feel like they have an eye for talent. However, I don't feel like they look when they do misjudge. I don't think they're willing to own up to it or change anything to address it. That's just me, but that's just how I feel. And they just haven't done that. I really don't know where we're going with this. I don't know what the team plans on doing. It doesn't look good as of right now. It's actually pretty frustrating. I don't know what else. Like I said, the team's lazy. LaMelo doesn't look okay, which people I know have said he might be still injured. I know people are blaming Gordon Hayward for his comments of saying LaMelo needs to look to pass. I get it. It sounds crazy. And that is a computer going off. That scared me. But I know it sounds crazy. But the thing is, I don't think Gordon Hayward meant, hey, LaMelo, defer to everyone else and then, get the baskets for yourself. No, I think it was more so saying, get a vibe going, get a flow going in the offense. Your shots will come. If you can kind of get everything else flowing, you are the point guard. If you can get the team flowing, we're going to be good. I think that's what he meant. I'm not going to put words in his mouth, but I'm not thinking he's saying, LaMelo, take less shots, let everybody else. No, I don't think that's what he was saying. I think he's just saying, get accumulated. If anyone knows about working back from injury is Gordon Hayward, outside of Kevin Durant, who I think is amazing when he comes off injury, it's like he's better. But if anyone knows about anything coming off injury is Gordon Hayward. And I think he's just giving him advice of, hey, get into the flow of the offense. Your shots will come. You will find the game to become a lot easier because you are coming off an injury. You just got cleared in October. If you work with the offense, if you, continue being a dynamic passer, we know you are, then you can start hitting your shots because you'll see the floor open up. It'll just become easier on you. I don't think he's saying change who you are and let everyone else get more shot. I don't think it's any of that, but that's how people are taking it. Whatever. I don't know why you take it that way, but I've seen this time and time again. It sucks that LaMelo was injured, but that doesn't change his shot selection. That doesn't change his carelessness with the ball. You got it. Your basketball mind has to be sharpened. It doesn't seem like his is right now. He's just going down the court, chucking up shots. And he's making them at the end. And it's like, the thing is, people say, like, he always takes those shots. He does. However, they're usually falling. If they're not falling, LaMelo Ball, too good of a basketball player to not do something else that can get him involved in the offense. And then, like Gordon Hayward said, then your offense will come. If it's not happening right now, if you're not hitting right now, fine. It's okay. It's not the end of the world. We have other players who should be, and that's topic for another day, but who should be competent enough to go and, you know, play for themselves. You have to find your offense one way or another. Right now, you're not hitting. Okay. Create for others. Continue to be a threat. It will open up for you if you do that. And he's not doing it. He's just kind of shooting himself out the slump. And it would be different if the slump wasn't related to injury. I feel as though this slump is 100% injury related. Outside, his percentages are not. Him not hitting a slump is injury related. So a lot of his shots that he's taking are bad shots. And it's like you're not going to make those. If you're coming off an injury, that is what's causing, I think, you know, you got to get comfortable. You just got cleared. It's going to, you know, take some time. Don't keep chucking it up if it's not falling. Just allow the offense to come to you. I think that's the main thing we could take about it. But he's not doing that. And so someone's got to get in his ear and let him know, hey, just slow down. Just, I think that's the biggest part of it. Slow down. You're not going to be yourself. You're coming off an injury. You're playing with a brace. All these things are different. Slow down. Find your balance, and then we can take off from there. Don't just come down there and chuck up shots, which is what he's doing for the most part. When he hits, it's like, that's a LaMelo I know. However, it's not falling right this second. And since it's a slump related to injury, just allow yourself to ease back into the game, and then we can go from there. Then you can shoot yourself out of the slump. Because I agree, shoot or shoot. You're going to continue shooting the ball. Don't not shoot the ball. But right now, as you're slowly trying to get healthy, just take it easy for a second. You might have to adjust your game for the time being, but that's just until you get to you feel better, till you feel more confident. Once you feel more confident about your ankle, once you feel more confident about just the speed of the game, the pace of the game, everything else will fall into place. And that's what I feel like Gordon Hayward is saying, but people want to take it out of context. If we look at the stats here as a team, and I know I kind of went on a rant about LaMelo, but another thing that people say, like, oh, you're so hard on LaMelo or these other guys, LaMelo's one of the players I expect to be good. He's one of the guys who I'm looking forward to help lead the team. Why am I not mad at Nick Richards? I know what to expect from Nick Richards. Why am I not mad at Terry Rozier taking crazy shots? I know what to expect from Terry Rozier. Like, it's not that he's taking any better shots than LaMelo. It's not that I think he's better. It's none of that. LaMelo is the person who you just got paid. You are our star. You're injured, and it's like you're going against your injury. That is my concern. I know what Terry Rozier does. When he gets the ball, it's like a ball stopper. He's just going to bounce by bounce, shoot. Dribble, 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 shoot. Like, I know that. Coming off ball, I think Terry's one of the better shooting guards at that specific skill in the league. And we saw that in a Rockets game where a lot of ISO, and we were down heavy. Once they moved Terry off ball and kind of had Taylor Maledon kind of handling it, it worked. The game opened up so much for Terry, and I think he was on a little tear there. So that's something that we just have to look at. And you cannot continue just chucking up shots. But that's what he does. I don't like it. I'm not going to keep repeating myself, and especially considering that I don't see him as the top of our franchise. And if LaMelo Ball's not hitting, yes, I don't want Terry taking bad shots, but somebody has to hit something. Somebody has to hit something. And yes, it does take away from LaMelo kind of getting to the groove, but that's just how basketball goes. Right now, we're trying to win games as much as we're trying to assimilate Mark Williams and LaMelo Ball, really, back into the game of basketball, back into playing at this speed, playing this tempo. Like, it's going to take some time. It's not easy to do both. It's not easy to assimilate your best player as well as trying to win games when you're already a team that is so dependent on LaMelo, Miles, and Mark, and Brandon, because the way he's came onto the scene. With those four guys, two of them are coming off injury, one's not playing, and one is a rookie. If those are the guys you're relying on and you're taking that time, it's not easy to win games at the same time. It's just not. However, at least you could give effort, and that's the biggest thing with this team so far to me. But let's go ahead and get to the stats. If you look here, most of our stats are not horrible. I mean, most of our stats are actually pretty good. Our three-point stats, horrendous. And it's a lot of it because of LaMelo, Terry. I think Gordon and PJ are shooting pretty well. Brandon Miller, of course, is shooting well. But our three-point stats, terrible. So in 3 points made, we're 29th in the league. That's what we're next to last. 3 points attempts, 27th. that's actually pretty high. I'm actually, it's actually, considering we take 30 a game and we're still only 27th, it's kind of insane, unless I'm reading this wrong. No, because, yeah, we're okay. So, yeah, 27th. I mean, I'm not really upset about the volume. I know it's going to go up when LaMelo gets better. It's going to go up when Brandon Miller gets more minutes. That's going to change. I don't really care as far as attempted. I don't really care if we're closer to the top, close to the bottom. You got to make them. And that's going to the next stat where, considering we take, you know, one of the lowest amount of three-pointers in the league, but we still only make 30% of them and that's 29th in the league, not good. Not good. That shows our shot quality. And I wish I had like some stats to show our shot quality. It's because it's probably not good. But our shot quality has to be horrendous if we're already not taking that many threes. And yet, we're still 27th in three-point attempts and 29th in three-pointers made or percentage. And who's shooting? So if we go down here, let's see if I can make sure y'all are seeing it. But if we go down here, yeah. If we go down here, you see that Terry Rozier shooting 19% from three. PJ Washington, 40%. PJ Washington has been a stud, in my opinion. He had that one game. Was it against the Pistons? No, it might have been against the Nets. I don't think he played well, but it was one of them. But PJ Washington has been a guy. Like, he has been a guy for this team. He's been kind of keeping his team afloat as best you can, at least on the offensive end, because he is putting up points. And while still hitting his shots, it's not, none of his shots are like either rhythm or crazy shots. He's hitting. Gordon Hayward, he just looks old out there, and I don't know if I can really blame him. I mean, because he is. If anything, you got to blame the Charlotte Hornets for giving him that money. I know that some people say start Brandon Miller. I am of that camp. I said that before the season even started. However, the way our team is right now, having Gordon Hayward come off the bench, I don't think does you any more justice. I would like to see Brandon Miller close out more games and get more minutes. And I think he was really on par, on course at least, to have a lot of minutes in that Rockets game if it wasn't for his foul trouble. But you got to figure out something with the minutes there just because of the fact. And it's not off, not too far off, because Brandon Miller averages basically 30 minutes a game. Gordon Hayward averages 32. So essentially you could say Brandon Miller basically starts. I just think I would like to see Brandon Miller kind of close out more games. I know you want that veteran out there, but right now the hot hand and the ability to make plays all the way around is Brandon Miller. Gordon Hayward can do it. We've seen him do it. Even this season, it's just not consistent enough. And then also on the defensive end, I think that it's a little lackluster, but it's the money. I mean, I guarantee you if he was getting paid less, I wouldn't feel that way about it. But considering he's being paid that much, and while his shooting percentages are really good, I mean, he's shooting basically 49% from the field, 50% from three, but only, you know, 77% from the free throw line. It's not bad. It's just at times he just looks a little lost. He's averaging 2.5 turnovers a game. And like I said, the defense isn't all that. So it does need some work. I would rather see Brandon Miller out there. If he makes the rookie mistakes, then he makes the rookie mistakes. But I'm not really concerned whether or not Brandon Miller starts or in the starting five or is on the bench. However, I would like to see him kind of close out more games, be in those pivotal moments. I think he's been playing very well. And, I mean, looking at his stats, I mean, he's shooting 47% from the field, 42% from three, shooting 83% from the free throw line. So he's doing what he needs to do. But we just can't get it together, man. We just cannot get it together. Everybody's playing lazy, uninspired basketball. Like, look at LaMelo. He's struggling to finish at the rim, which I get at the ankle. But another thing is, like, either – one, y'all sit him, because it's not like the team is playing out of their mind and then it's like, oh, he's just the only one struggling. No, as a team, we are struggling. We are struggling to find balance. We are struggling to find chemistry, which is crazy because the core of this team has kind of been together for the longest and it's just not looking that way. And then he's shooting, 27% from three. A lot of that is bad shots. Yes, he still averages the high points. I think he's been doing a pretty good job playmaking. I think that he's actually kind of dialed back the playmaking, in my opinion, which – if you a healthy LaMelo, it makes me wonder, like, I don't know, this man could average like 10, 12 assists this season based on how he's been playing now, injured and kind of in his head a little bit with the team playing as poorly as they are. Imagine everybody kind of playing at least up to par. And then he's also, you know, healthy, easily 10, 12 assists along with probably like 20, 23 points. So looking forward to it. We just need to get there. And like I said, I'm not upset about his skill set. I'm not upset about really him as a player. It's just more so the injury you got to adjust to learn how to play with an injury. I'm pretty sure it's probably one of the most difficult things to do, to kind of be the point guard, not only the point guard, but the star and just the person that offense runs around. And then you're coming off injury to your ankle. It's not easy. I'm not saying that it should be something that happens in a, you know, flip of a hat. But what I am saying is that you have to know it's not easy. And it's like forcing it. Like, it's like when you come off cold and you're going to the gym, right? That's the best way I could put it. If you, let's say you work out nonstop, then you get sick, like really sick. You're out 2-3 days. Then you try to push, go back to the gym and do what you were doing 3 days ago. It's just not going to work. It's just not going to be easy. So my advice to LaMelo Ball is just, you know, let the game come to you, because once it opens up for you, I know that you're going to be on a tear. It's just right now, I feel like you're kind of forcing it. It also doesn't help that the team as a whole is playing that way, because I guarantee you, if the team was kind of handling their business outside of LaMelo, it would be easier for him to kind of work his way back. But considering the team's playing poorly, he's coming off injury, all these things, it's just not going to be easy for him. But he has to understand that, and someone has to help him understand that. He is a young guy, but still, it's just a lot to think about with his team. There's not really much to look at stat-wise as far as, like, individuals. Like I said, PJ's playing well. Brandon Miller's playing well. Tao Maldon actually was giving the Rockets offense fits. He's been pretty good defensively. Offensively, as you can see, terrible. Shooting 30% from the field. What is that? Shooting 11% from three. So he hit his first three against the Rockets, so it actually makes sense. And then he shooting 90% from the free throw line, so I guess that's good. But yeah, his defense has been good. It's just that offense he might as well not be out there. Nick Richards, once again, is someone I've been disappointed. Him and JD Thor, I've been actually pretty disappointed in, just because of the fact that Nick Richards, I thought he was going to be a really good backup. I thought the deal we got him on was going to be a really good deal. Like, oh, this is a steal for a guy that can come in and average 10-10 off the bench. Like, I think he rolls well when on the pick and roll. I think he's a pretty good rebounder. And if you look at the stats last year, I know I said all throughout summer, but he's one of the better offensive rebounders in the league statistically. But then this year, it's a lot of tap. Like, he cannot just grasp the ball and get the rebound. It's just he tips it and keeps tipping it. Then another team gets it and he's out of position and they go for a layup. Sengun was killing him on that. So that's something we got to work on. Mark Williams is just, it's weird because he plays well, then he gets taken out, which I understand for the Nets game, but it's like, dude, we're not struggling. We're struggling as is anyway. At least let these guys just go through the struggle. Let them go through the struggle. And that's something I wish we did more last year. I wish it's something we did the year before. In general, these past few years, I know we've been kind of like, let our rookies slowly come in, but it's like, no, let them go through the struggle. They will eventually get better. I'd rather suck than see what I'm getting. You know what I mean? And I'm getting just terrible play, man. Terrible play. Like, there was a play in the Rockets game where Sengun gets it at the top of the three-point line. There's three Hornets right there, and they all stop and just look at him, put up the three, and he makes it. Sengun's a pretty good three-point shooter. So I just don't understand. It's like these guys don't watch film on their players. It's like they don't do any like kind of intelligence as far as just like understanding how the opposite team operates. It's like they all rely on Clifford for that, and you can't do that. And I don't know. I don't know these guys personally, but it just seems like we're playing a very, very uninspired version of basketball, and it's just upsetting because we've seen it year after year after year. It's easy to say it's only four games, but when you've seen the same exact thing for 3 years at your best, even when we were at our best, everybody likes to hawk on like just like 2 years ago, and it's a good marker for like, okay, this is kind of how good this team could be. I personally think this team, talent-wise, has more talent than that team. But it's a good marker to use, but let's not use it as a crutch. Everybody's using it as a crutch. And even that year, we lost a lot of games because of the same exact thing. Because we would go down by 20. They were so talented and so gifted on offense, they would come all the way back. It would take the rest of the game, but it will finally get there. And then they lose in overtime or lose in the last minute of the fourth quarter. So many things would happen because of the same exact thing. So I'm not thinking four games in, oh, well, it's just, no, we've seen it happen for the last 3-4 years. So it's not really that different. But overall, it's just been a very, very frustrating experience. It's just the stats aren't like really even worth looking at. I mean, there's a lot of positives here. Like shooting our 2-point field goal percentage, 12th in the league. Our free throw percentage, 12th in the league. Like, that's something that we normally suck at. Our rebounding has been horrific. Our offensive rebounding, we're 9th in the league. Defensive rebound has been 24th, and total rebounds 22. And I think a lot of that has to do with just getting dominated on the boards in the Pistons game. And we really didn't look that good on the boards in the Nets game. And guess what rebounding is? It's an effort stat. Like, that's literally what rebounding is. It's an effort stat. That's why guys like Draymond Green. That's why guys like Andre Drummond don't get the praise that you kind of would think he deserves. If you look at the stats, if you look at his career, he's probably one of the best rebounders to ever play in the league. There's a reason why he never really could be that guy on a team. It's an effort stat. He would give effort in that and kind of do something crazy on the other end to kind of be like, we can get another guy to give us effort. You know what I mean? So that's why Andre Drummond's career ended up being where it's at today, even though he's one of literally the best rebounders ever to play basketball, if you look at the stat. Our assists, that's good. I think that's great considering LaMelo Ball hasn't been himself. We don't even have a backup point guard, for real. Not bad. It's just, once again, shot selection, a lot of iso ball kind of, you know, this normally translates to wins. This normally translates to good play. But two things, these turnovers right here. Can y'all see? Okay, I had to make sure. Oh, you can't see. No, yes, you can. Can you? Yeah, you can't see. I'm blind. But these turnovers here, 16 per game, basically. That destroys the 27 assists you have per game if you're turning the ball over 16 times per game, which is 20th in the league. As far as, you know, the higher it is, the lower you are in the rankings. So it's just frustrating, man. Like, the steals, I think the way we play defense allows us to, you know, get our hands on the ball, play the passing lanes, and we're good at that. There's a lot of things we're doing to... I think Steve Clifford said it best, and I know however you feel about Steve Clifford, but there are all these games we've lost, and even the game we won, basically every game this season, we really should be undefeated. And he didn't necessarily say that, but after every game, he's like, nah, that's a game you would win. If you look at what we did, that's a game we should have won. What's not accounted for is how we let everybody blow past us, we let everyone bully us, and we let everyone out-hustle us. Those are things that, you know, depending on how you want to look at stats, they necessarily do not show up on the stat sheet. Getting bullied and out hustled, you know, you may look at steals and rebounds, and maybe you could kind of assume that, okay, well, if they're getting bullied on the boards, it's going to translate a rebound. But watching the game and then looking at the stats, two completely different things. The stats will say that we're a pretty good team. At worst, we're 2-2 and with two close losses. But instead, we're at 1-3, which the first game, if the Hawks were stopped being lazy and playing how they played in the last couple of games, they probably would have won that game. The Nets or the Pistons just straight up bullied us. That's all it was. It was straight bullying. And yes, there were some calls that didn't go our way. I think the calls would have, if we got correct calls for sure, we would have been a lot closer. That was one of the worst officiated games I've ever seen. Game would have been closer. They still would have bullied us, and we would have lost. But as far as what we did, if you look at the stats, we should have won that game. But if you watch it, it's like, nah, there's no way. If that game fell out of reach the entire time just because how dominant the Pistons were as far as just imposing their will on us. Same with the Rockets. That game, look at the stats once again. Maybe I can. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Rockets. 128-119. The Rockets as a team, I'm not looking at advanced stats. I just want to see their basic stats. Okay, basic. Can you see it? Yes, you can. Let's go here. Okay, so the basic stats, let's look at the Rockets. 57% from three, and that's crazy. You know, you look at that, like, how the heck, if you're somebody else, how the heck did the Houston Rockets, who before this were one of the worst three-point shooting teams, let's see if I can bring that up, are one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the league right now. How the heck did they shoot 57% from three? Let's see their stats. So if you look at the Houston Rockets this season, they are 11. So I bet that went. I wish I could do the math before that. But either way, the point is, before the Hornets game, they were one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the league. And yet, against the Charlotte Hornets, they made 21 out of 37 threes. Ridiculous. And most of those, outside of, like, I remember a corner three from Dylan Brooks, And I think like a Jabari Smith Jr. had a three. Yeah, like a three that was kind of, I think was decently covered. But other than that, a lot of them were wide open threes and no one ran to the ball. And I get it. Like in basketball, sometimes like if you're a little too low, you're like, I can't make it out there. If he makes it, he makes it. That can't happen 8 possessions in a row. I'm sorry. Like at some point you're going to be like, all right, I get it the first time, maybe even the second time, but at the third time, it's like, okay, at least try. Like, because you know he's going to make it, but they weren't doing that. It was continuously like, we're just going to stay down here. And then also, this switch defense is terrible. I know it's the right way to play defense. If you're looking at, like, the best way you can play defense, it is what we're doing. We're in the right scheme. It just does not work. We constantly are leaving people open. People are not fighting over screens. People are not going under screens. People are just letting their person just kind of go by them. We're playing too high as far as the centers. It's just a lot going on. It's just not working. It should work. The scheme is saying, hey, with this kind of players, with this type of versatility, we should be able to do this. We cannot perform using this defensive scheme. It's just not working. It's not working for us because we leave too many people open. Defense, Terry Rozier said it last year. Defense is 50% effort, maybe even 70% effort. And then, you know, like the rest is like scheme and all that stuff. And maybe wingspan might play a part and just, athleticism, all those things. But 70% of it is effort unless you're just tiny. Like Trae Young, he could do a little better, but it's what much can he do? For us, we have no reason to – we don't have that excuse. The only thing is – Terry should never be guarding the other team's best player, which usually he is, as far as like a perimeter player. He should not, and he usually is. Does not make any sense. Get someone that can. And you know what? I'm tired of talking about who we need to get and what we need to do because, one, they're not going to do it. Two, it's just no point. It's not going to save this team. One player, I'll tell you this, unless I'm just completely wrong and out of the loop, there's not a player that we can get that will change the trajectory of where this team is headed this season. Not that I know of. Now, there are some players. So if we got like a collection of players that all kind of had a certain mentality, I could see us kind of turn it around. But as far as one player, this has to be almost a superstar type player or all defensive type player, and maybe we'll have a better chance. I don't know if any of those are on the market right now. We can get some guys that come off our bench, but knowing the Hornets is only going to be one. I know I've seen Danny Green thrown out there. I like that. I seen OG Anunoby, which I don't know how we would get him, but I like that. As far as this season and just trying to make something work. But even OG Anunoby, as good as he is defensively, in my opinion, it's going to continue to make our stats look better. The other players got to play, man. The other players got to play. And we've seen him, even at times, is kind of a little lackluster just because he's not getting his way with the Raptors. So do you want to bring that into a team that already kind of struggles to get up for the game? I don't know. And then we see the constant disrespect on social media. We've seen it on TNT. We've heard it in podcasts. And I'm not saying the players need to go out there and tweet and post. No. But we know y'all see it. You've said you've seen it. We, at the beginning of the season, a lot was said of, oh, everyone thinks, you know, they underrate us. We're ready to show people wrong. Playing like this is not showing anybody wrong. Playing like this is not going to have anybody say anything nice about you if you're playing like this. Another point, someone mentioned to me yesterday, well, the Kings started off 0-4 last year. Last year, the Kings played, Listen, I'm going to just look it up because I know it was like the Warriors, the Grizzlies, which, you know, like a full Grizzlies team. It was they played like some tough teams. It was like, this new team only had a few, you know, a little bit of time together last year with a new coach. Of course, it's going to, you know, struggle a little bit. They played the Trailblazers who. Let's just look at every game just to prove my point. We're going to look at every game. I clicked the wrong button. All right. So they played the Trailblazers with Dame Dame didn't play that well, but Anthony Simons had 22. Jeremy Grant had 23. Shaden Sharpe had 12. Like they were on an offensive, not clinic, but they were playing pretty well. And then you look at the Kings who De'Aaron Fox had. Yes, he had 33. Sabonis only really had 13. Kevin Herter had 23. The bench didn't really do much. As you see, it's a bunch of negatives down here. So Malik Monk, okay, there you can see. Malik Monk was a negative 18. Rashawn Holmes was a negative 12, and I actually don't really even believe in plus minus like that. I'm not going to use that as like, this team's bad. I don't like doing that because plus minus can really, it literally means anything depending on what you want to say. But my point is, it just, they just got outmatched. And they only lost by what, seven? So it's not like they got outclassed, but it was just a game they lost. Once again, Clippers. Yes, they lost. Clippers is a tough team, but they only lost by two. Who else? The Warriors, like I mentioned, they only lost by five. Then, okay, they lost by 15 to the Grizzlies, but you're already on a three-game skid, and then you're playing the Memphis Grizzlies. Like, it's just, and Ja Morant probably, yeah, Ja Morant had, Desmond Bane had 31 and was 6-8 from three. So it's just like one of the things, like, what can you do? And then after that, they kind of did their own thing and went from there. But you see the difference. Like, those games were close. It's a new coach, it's new players, it's trying to get assimilated, and yes, we have some of those things, but at least those games were close. At least they were able to get out the rut. At least this was a new project, so you really couldn't base it off years past. We have a lot of the same core that we've always had, and it was one way. So why would I expect it to be anything different unless they show me? That's just kind of how I feel. But anyway, that's my rant. I've been talking a long time. Thank you so much for tuning into the Trust the Buzz podcast. Don't forget to use code BELIEVE at betonline.ag for 50% or 50. Yeah, it's like 50% for your total credit or whatever when you use our code. So go ahead and get into that bet responsibly, please. But yeah. It's just going to be tough. It's just going to be tough. I want the best for this team. I would love for this team to prove me wrong. I would love for Melo Ball to get healthy. But it's just going to take some things that are not involved with the X's and O's in order to get this team to where they need to be. And in years past, we have not seen it. We've had two. Are they the best coaches in the world? No. But we've had two coaches who I think are pretty decent. Steve Clifford has translated this defense pretty good. Scheme-wise, I think our defense is fine. To be honest, we saw last year how it ended up being. This year, it's literally effort. It's literally effort. And guys just not knowing where to go, but it's clear as day. It's just they're not thinking about it. We've seen them just be way more focused on offense than they are. And an offense not even good. So I cannot blame Steve Clifford for that. Yes, I think his offensive game needs more help. But I felt like what we're Hornets were going for after getting spun by Kenny Atkinson was our offense is one of the best offenses in the league. When Steve Clifford came out, I think we were top 10 offense. We need help on defense. Just scheme us up and we'll be straight. No, because we're not giving any effort. I guarantee you, if we gave the effort on defense, we would be good. Yes, Steve Clifford, his sets are not the best. But if you let the team continue to run the offense that we're running with James Borrego, and I will say maybe even be a little more free, but then give these guys the permit, like help these guys get schemed up on defense, we would be a good team. Like, if he's going to let y'all freestyle offense, and I know he has his own sets, but I think this is the key to somewhat success with what we have. Let these guys kind of freestyle offense, not completely, you know, just run, let LaMelo run the show, help him out a little bit, but you know what I mean. Just give them a little more freedom. In return, they have to reward you, reward us, reward whoever by giving some effort on defense. We would be fine. We would be a team that, okay, we may not have made the playoffs. We may have lost this game. We may have lost that game, but I see it. I don't see it right now. And that's what I need to see. But anyway, thank you so much for listening or watching, whichever one you're doing. I'll probably do more of these and I'll probably do some game breakdowns. But yeah, I'm ready to get the season ramped up. It's just frustrating. And to be honest, that's kind of where I've been. That's why I haven't been able to upload as much as I would like. I actually want to do a Brandon Miller breakdown video because he's been fantastic. Even last game against the Rockets, it wasn't his best game, but it was because of foul trouble. And I think he was actually pretty good that game. It's just the stats didn't look as good as they usually do. But watching the game, you saw that he was on trajectory to me to have a pretty good game if it wasn't for the foul trouble. But yeah, just let me know what you think down in the comment section below if you're on YouTube. And don't forget to give us 5 stars on wherever you listen to podcasts. And I think you can leave comments as well. So make sure you do that and tell me how much you like the show or hate the show or what you want me to address next time. I'll see you guys next time. Peace.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.